This is History's Hidden Killers. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Buster Murdaugh named his firstborn child after his father. His father is Alec Murdaugh. The disgraced South Carolina attorney convicted of murdering Buster's mother, Maggie, and Buster's younger brother, Paul, at the family's hunting estate in June of 21. A jury found Alec guilty. He was sentenced to two consecutive life terms. And that's been erased now, as we all know. A second trial is coming. But at the time, Buster, the surviving son, the man whose mother and brother were taken from him, looked at the man the state said did it and gave his baby that man's name. This is the fifth episode in a series about families that stand behind the accused. And the Murdaugh case contains something none of the others do. A son who is not choosing his father over evidence, over strangers, or over an abstract concept of justice. Buster is choosing his father over the murder of his own mother and his own brother. The psychological weight of that is in a category by itself. This is not a piece, I want to say, to insult Buster or to challenge Buster or to say he has anything to do with any sort of crime, because I do not believe he does. It is an interesting look, though, at family members who stand by the accused despite overwhelming evidence. And you can also argue this, and we have been too. The South Carolina Supreme Court said a do-over is needed in that trial. Not necessarily because of the evidence, but because of jury tampering. But this whole story is a rabbit hole. If you want to know more about the Murdaugh case, I'll leave it at this. Look at our feed. There's a gazillion stories in the last week or two as this new saga begins to unfold, leading to a new trial involving investigators, poor investigative work, so many missteps, so many screw-ups. Oh, my God. It matters that you cross your T's and dot your I's, kids. Love to get your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube as we go through this. Alec Murdaugh, he was convicted in March of 23 after a six-week trial that transfixed the country. The evidence was extensive, forensic, digital, and testimonial. Beyond the Murdaughs, Alec separately pled guilty to dozens of state and federal financial crimes, admitting to stealing millions of dollars from vulnerable clients at the family's law firm over a period of decades. He staged a botched suicide attempt so Buster could collect a $10 million life insurance payout, asking his alleged drug dealer to shoot him in the head. The shot only grazed his scalp. The Murdaugh name, which once carried nearly a century of prosecutorial authority across the South Carolina Lowcountry, was destroyed in front of the entire country. And Buster watched it happen from the front row. He attended every day of the murder trial. He sat in the courtroom while witnesses described how his mother and brother were shot to death near the dog kennels on the family's property. He testified for the defense, describing his father as destroyed, heartbroken, on the night of the murders. He called Alec a doting parent who coached every little league team I played on. He was reportedly moved further back from the defense table after allegedly making a gesture towards a prosecution witness. When the guilty verdict was read, Buster put his head in his hands. His girlfriend, Brooklyn White, was beside him through all of it. After the conviction, Buster continued visiting his father in prison and calling him regularly. Defense attorney Dick Harpudelin described the relationship as strong. They're very affable. They have a great relationship, Harpudelin said. Buster married Brooklyn White in a ceremony in Beaufort, South Carolina. In 25, he had a child, and he gave that child his father's name. Lucky him. In a Fox Nation docuseries, Buster was asked directly about his position. He said, "I don't think that he could be affiliated with endangering my mother and brother. We've been here for a while now, and that's been my stance." He expressed fear that the real killer might still be out there, that he himself might still be at risk. His tone was not defiant. It was steady. It sounded like a conclusion he had arrived through deliberation and committed to. And far be it from me to tell him he's wrong. Far be it from anybody to tell him he's wrong. This Buster knows his father better than any of us do. Buster saw a side of Alec that none of us have seen. We've heard about, but never seen. And he saw it in action, in patterns, consistently throughout his life. And this is the conclusion he's come to. Not because Buster is delusional, but because Alec presented that side to his family for the duration of their lives. It is quite a deviation for someone like that to suddenly go awry and harm the people he loves the most in such a way as he's alleged to have done. But he did this, he did that. Yeah, there's a lot of horrible people who do a lot of horrible things and love their family. Have you ever seen The Sopranos? Have you ever heard about mafia families? There's magical compartmentalization that goes on in these sort of settings that the human brain is clearly capable of. Not saying you are, not saying I am, but people are. This ain't new to history. Buster also said something in that same docuseries that complicates the picture considerably. He acknowledged that Alec shows traits of a manipulator. Yeah, he is. He admitted his father exhibits characteristics associated with psychopathy, lying, control, deception as a reflex. Buster is not blind to who Alec is as a person. He watched the financial crimes unfold in real time. He learned his father had been stealing from grieving families over years. He watched the country, or the century, of Murtaugh legal power collapse around him. And he separated all that from the murder charges, the lying, the stealing, the manipulation. Buster could absorb those. What he could not bridge was the gap between the father he knew, the man who would allegedly gun down Maggie and Paul at the family kennels. The con man and the killer could not be the same person in Buster's mind, even though the jury said they were. And very strong evidence points to it being that. Then in May of 26, the South Carolina Supreme Court overturned Alec's murder conviction, finding that Colleton County Clerk Becky Hill tampered with the jury. Retrial ordered, and within days of that ruling, two completely different versions of Buster's reaction reached the public. Harpoodling went on the record. Buster frequently talks to and visits his father. He recently married, had a child, named the child after Alec. I'd say they've got a pretty good relationship, Poot said. In the same news cycle, a source described as close to Buster told reporters a different story entirely. The source said Buster was furious about the retrial, that he felt forced to relive the trauma, called Alec a selfish, selfish old man, and had no intention of visiting him in prison. The source criticized Alec's pursuit of the retrial and described it as more poking at a wound that's not even healed yet. Two different sides about the same person. I feel for Buster. He can't win in this. You're going to have the attorney of Alec Murtaugh painting this as a rosy picture. And maybe it is. Maybe the other source is wrong. Or maybe the truth lies somewhere in the middle. At the end of the day, it's none of our damn business. Both accounts dropped within days of each other. The defense attorney says, devoted son. The insider says, a man at his breaking point. The most likely truth are that both are real. That Buster names his child after Alec and rages privately about being dragged back through hell. That he maintains the relationship and resents being asked to do this again. The contradiction is not a mystery. It is what it looks like when someone holds two irreconcilable truths in both hands and refuses to let go of either one. Because dropping either one means losing whoever he still gets to be as the last Murtaugh standing. The retrial means the entire question, did Alec kill Maggie and Paul, will be litigated again from scratch. Buster will have to sit in another courtroom, hear the evidence presented again, and either watch his father walk free, or free of those charges, he ain't going anywhere, or watch him be convicted a second time. The financial crimes are settled. Alec pled guilty. There's no dispute about what he did to his clients, to his law firm, to the people who trusted the Murtaugh name for generations. The only question that remains open is whether he also killed his wife and younger son. And Buster has staked his position. He didn't do it. The financial crimes make Buster's loyalty harder to understand from the outside, not easier. Most family members who defend the accused are defending against a single charge. Buster is defending his father against murder while simultaneously accepting that the man stole from grieving families, lied to judges, ran a drug operation through his law firm, and orchestrated a fake assassination attempt on himself. Buster has absorbed all of that and concluded that a man capable of every one of those things was still not capable of murdering his own wife and son. That distinction, con man yes, killer no, is the load-bearing wall of Buster's entire psychological architecture on this topic. If it holds, he gets to keep his father. If it collapses, there's no one left. And that's what the retrial threatens, not just a second courtroom experience, not just another round of testimony and evidence photos and attorneys telling him what his father did. The retrial threatens the wall. Every piece of evidence that gets introduced for a second time is another impact on that structure. Every witness who describes the scene at the kennels is another impact on that structure. Every forensic detail, every digital breadcrumb the prosecution traces back to Alec, all of it lands on Buster, who has to sit there and hold the wall in place while the system swings at it again. Buster Murdaugh's story does not resolve. It cannot, because the system has not finished processing it. He named his child after the man who may have murdered his child's grandmother and uncle. His father's attorney says they're close. Someone near Buster says he's furious. Both things appear to be true at the same time. That's what it looks like when loving your father and grieving your mother and brother require mutually exclusive beliefs. And you refuse to let go of either one. Because letting go of either one destroys what's left of your family. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. I'd love for you to weigh in. We'll continue the conversation right there. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.